You know, somebody said, there's two sure things in the world, paying taxes and dying. Well, I got a third one. We all face troubles and situations and trials and so forth, right? And I want to talk about living victorious over our life's troubles or problems, whatever you want to have, whatever title you want to give them. You know, Matthew 6:34, I'm going to read this from the New King James and the NIV also. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, the NIV says it, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In this verse, it's talking about that each day has problems, challenges, difficulties. You know, thank God we do have some days that we don't have a problem or a difficulty, but you just stop and think about it for a minute. How many times during the day do you encounter some difficulty, some problem? Come on now, don't sit there and look at me like that. How many of you, just think about it, how many of you recognize that? I mean, we all encounter these things. Now, I'm not talking about having a lifestyle that way, but I'm simply saying that, hey, there's trouble in this world. Somebody said, well, hey, that's not very positive. Well, let me give you a positive part of that. God tells us how to live victorious over all of those. You know, the first thing you need to know is that God is not the one or the author of trouble, chaos, confusion, all the situations that come down your road and hit you head on. You know, now some people want to blame, they blame God for everything. God's in control, so everything, he's controlling everything. Well, that's not so. If you read the Word of God, you find out that's not so. You know, some people blame God for everything. Well, if that's you, go out there and get a little book out there in the bookstore called Don't Blame God, written by a guy that I'm named after, you know. Now, tonight, I want to share with you some things that will help you to live victorious whenever you're facing all kinds of situations, troubles, trials, whatever you want to call it. We know that the devil is the one that brings these. Jesus told us this in the first part of John 10:10. He said, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, the voice translation says, the thief approaches with malice intent, looking to steal, slaughter, and destroy. The devil is the thief. He desires and he loves it when there's havoc, chaos, tragedy, trials, afflictions. He has a party when all of that's going on, because that's what his mission in the world is to destroy God's man that God created. You know, sometimes he doesn't come directly at us. He comes at us through other people, circumstances. But he's always behind the scenes. You know, there's always somebody behind the scenes that you never see that produces that picture right up there. Now, you see the camera people over here and back there and over here, but you don't see in a room right up behind that screen there is... there is a director, there is a person that puts up all the words and all on there. There's another person that's always checking the balance on the color on all these cameras. There's some machines up there. There is five or seven people up there that are involved in that, and you never see them. They're behind the scenes. But we wouldn't have that picture if they weren't up there. Even though the camera people were here, that if they're not up there, it doesn't do any good. That what we need to realize, the enemy comes at us in different directions through people, through circumstances, you know, but he is the mastermind behind it all. You know, and I use this illustration quite a bit, but it really gets the point across. One time a man walked up to my dad. I don't even know where it was, but because I travel with him on the road. And this guy said, "Brother Hagin, would you pray for me that I won't have any more trouble with the devil?" And many people don't know, they think they know Dad, but they don't know Dad. He looked at him in that way that he can, Doug, you know. And he just said to him, "You want me to pray that you'll die?" Just flat out said it like that. And, you know, I remember when I was 15, you've heard my story about the ear deal. And was driving back from the doctor, and Dad said, "You want to get healed?" And I said, "Yeah." And then he didn't say nothing. And I said, "Well, how?" And he said, "Well, I thought you never would ask." See, I'm giving you a side of him that you didn't know. You know, Proverbs 10:10 says, "He who winks the eye causes trouble, but a parting fool will fall." Now that word, I looked it up. It means somebody that talks foolishly. Did y'all put that up there for them? Yeah, that word. I don't know. I probably not pronounced it right, but P-R-A-T-I-N-G. It means somebody that talks foolishly or just talks incessantly about nothing. Just talking. The voice says it like this: "Whoever winks his eye signals trouble. Whoever fills the air with meaningless talk will fall into ruin." This is a funny statement. President Theodore Roosevelt said this: "If you could kick the person in the pants who is responsible for your trouble, you wouldn't sit down for a month." Sometimes our trouble comes because we have acted foolishly or made a bad decision and brought it on ourselves. You know, too many people want to blame it on everything. Sometimes we just got to look at ourselves and say, "Hey, that was my mistake." But most people, when they act foolishly, they try to give you some kind of reason why it's not their fault. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got three people that know what I'm talking about. I'm glad y'all do. I hope the rest of you catch up one of these days. Now, some people, they think that if trouble comes their way or a bad situation, that they have done something wrong and it's caused God to turn against them. But that's not the case always. It could be, but that's not usually the case. Sometimes we encounter trouble because we're living in this world. It's corrupt. It's decaying. It's because the devil is the god of this world, and his main deal is to cause chaos, trouble, all kinds of stuff. And so sometimes we just because we're in this world, the trouble comes. Because remember, we live in two planets at the same time. We live in the spiritual planet and we live in the natural planet. Hello. We have to take the spiritual side and control the natural side. You know, John 16:33, Jesus is talking and he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now this is Jesus talking. He said you'll have tribulation, trouble. But he said, be of good cheer, take courage, I've overcome. The Voice translation says, "I've told you these things so that you will be whole and at peace in this world." See, he knew the world was going to be corrupt. You'll be plagued with times of trouble, but you need not fear. I have triumphed over all the corrupt world order. Come on now. See, bad things are happening in the world right now. But you know what? I've lived 82 years on this planet. I can take you all the way back to World War Number Two, and it's always been that way. And we need to pray, especially pray for our Rhema people over there. We've had the Rhema school and the churches. I've spoken there in Ukraine myself. We need to pray for those. Just pray for all of them, but especially our people. You know, we won't pray for all of them, but we won't especially pray for our people, right? But I can take you back all the way to the 40s and World War II. And I can bring you all the way through Korean, then all the other conflicts that we've had. And then you can check, and there has always been some kind of conflict going on in the world somewhere all the time. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. But that's exactly what the enemy, the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, that's what he, in fact, Jesus said that's what he wanted to do, steal, kill, and destroy. You see, sin, sickness, poverty, fear, and the list goes on, are all a part of the corrupt world. They're all a part of Adam selling us out in the Garden of Eden when he gave control of the earth, this world, because Adam was in control. God had put him there. But when he ate of that one fruit, he gave the enemy, the devil, control. You know, we need to realize that we as Christians come up against affliction and persecution. And all of this is because of Adam's sin. Because we're born again, but we're still living in a sinful world. And I want you to understand, we're spiritual and we're natural at the same time. Come on now, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. And I'll just go read 2 Corinthians 4:4. "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of glory of Christ be of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." In the NLT it says, "Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now I want you to notice here, it says the god of this world has blinded their minds, has clouded their minds, and they don't believe, and they're unable to comprehend the story of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and all that goes with the redemption that happened at Calvary. But see, the good news is that Jesus turned around and said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He triumphed it over the devil in his redemptive work on Calvary. So that's why it's so important that we understand redemptive realities, understand who we are in Christ, what we have because we're in Christ, what we can do because we're in Christ. You see, so many times we do not take our rightful position in Christ. We talk about being the righteousness of God in Christ, and we talk about these things, but the law of identification sets, that's it. And the law, the way it's set out, the way Paul did, he outlined it first at, like law, and then he went around and explained it experientially. Now, many people have gotten a hold of this is it. Yeah, that's it. That's the law. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. But they have never gotten a hold of the experiential side, living the life of Christ, reigning in life. You see, the enemy comes and he throws everything at them. And we need to realize that our victory is not in all that we can do. It's in what we believe and what we say concerning who we are in Christ. That's how we overcome our afflictions, our trouble, our difficulties. You see, he obtained victory for us. Now, let me say something here that you need to get. He did not remove trouble out of the earth, but he triumphed over it so that we who are in Christ can live in victory over the world. That's not going to happen until he returns with the second coming. Not the rapture of the church, the second coming. Okay, I don't have time to go into teaching all that stuff. I do know about it. I could teach it, but you know what? We're not going to be here after the rapture. We're not going to be here. Then we're going to come back at the second coming. We're going to come back. So that's all you really need to know. So stay ready to go and you'll be all right. You know, trouble comes. We must be ready for it. You've got to stay ready all of the time. You know, I never did actually go on a battlefield. I was fired upon one time, but we are trained. If you're in a firefight, I don't care if you win a little victory, you never relax. You always stay looking for the enemy. And I see Greg back there, my retired Marine, shaking his head. I got any other people trained, Army trained or Marine trained? I don't know about what the Air Force and Navy do, but I know about Marines and the Army. I mean, when we were doing training exercises and we're doing a forced march, one guy here and one guy way over here and one guy over here, somebody said, well, you're not marching in. No, because if a shell hits, it'll get all of you. So you had a guy here and then another guy's over here and another guy's over here. If one of those deals goes up and it lights up everything, you better dive behind or in the first ditch or behind the first rock or whatever you can get, because there's a sniper somewhere waiting to pick you off. That's why they fired off the flare. I never will forget. I was training right up here at Fort Leonard, Missouri, right off of I-44, about halfway between Springfield and St. Louis. Man, we out there one night. It's dark as pitch. No stars, no moonlight. And they fired one of those things off in training. And that, I saw that light, and I looked over, and there's a ditch, but it's full of water. But me and that M1 went in. We went in that ditch immediately. That's what I like about that old M1 Grand rifle. You could dive underwater and come up firing. That thing would fire. Some of those. We got the M14 right before I was the last training regiment with that M1, and we went out and trained with it. Was out there, and you get a little piece of dirt in it, and it would jam up on you. They didn't have the M14 very long. They got the M16 almost immediately. But, you know, I realized I was in danger. So I took action. When the enemy comes at you with your circumstances, your troubles, your situations, you've got to be ready to take action. How do you take action? By opening your mouth and begin to quote the word of God. You see, I want you to notice, if you look at Matthew 7:24-27, it talks about the, you know, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I want you to notice that the rains and the wind and the storm came to both. The one that had listened to what God was saying, and the one that didn't listen. But the one that had listened and did this, what God said to do, his house stood. You see, we need, sometimes, even Christians, they get a little negligent, a little lazy. That's foolish. You need to keep Bible reading and prayer all the time. You know, it's like the person that doesn't do preventive maintenance on his car. He doesn't change oil and filter when he's supposed to and do that. Next thing you know, he's buying a new engine because the engine seized up on him. Hello? Come on. We need, I don't care how, if everything going great, and we do have those times, oh, it's going great. Ooh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. We're shouting and jumping. Hey, at the same time, you're rejoicing. You better still continue to be in the word. Because around the next corner, the enemy going to hit you upside the head, and then you're going to go wobbling around because you're not prepared. You're not ready. You know, I was playing football, and I had a coach, and he told us, he said, listen, I don't care if the whistle blows. You walking back to the huddle, you be ready in case somebody takes a cheap shot at you. Do you know more people are hurt in football after the whistle blows? Because they relax and they get hit. How many football players, how many of you hold your hand up and say that's true? See? Do you realize that many times we have a great service, we come out of the service, woo, and the devil slaps us up beside the head on the way home. Something happens. Our coach used to tell us after the game on Friday night, he'd say, hey, go home and rejoice tonight because tomorrow we start all over again. You got to be ready at all times. Now, in attaining a victory, we've got to work both sides, the spiritual and the natural. You know, one guy said, I don't know who said this, he said, some people work harder trying to avoid trouble than those who face it and overcome it. Now, victory comes both, you have to work both sides of the road, the natural and the spiritual, at the same time. There's a fellow I know that says, when you bring the natural and the supernatural together, it becomes an explosive force for God. Do y'all know that guy? All right. Some spiritual things we can do is this. Remember, God's for you, and he will help you out of all your troubles. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Resist worrying and getting in fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Realize that God always has a way of escape. You may not see any way out, but God always has a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted by what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, no matter what trouble comes against you, he's going to make a way of escape. Now, here's another thing. Maintain a good attitude. Count it all joy. Uh-oh. You know where I'm going with that, James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why can you count it joy? Because you know that that's only temporary and you're coming out. And here's the biggie. Walk in love. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, amplified. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist upon its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account for the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong, does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Love never fades out or becomes obsolete or overcomes to an end. You know, that's one of the hardest things, and you read that, and that's one of the hardest things and that we all have to deal with. I'm not talking about being somebody's doormat, but I'm talking about walking in love. Love is ever ready to believe the best about every person. My namesake was very good at that. One time, another minister was asking him, Dad, about another minister, and this other minister had messed up greatly, and it was bad. And Dad wouldn't say anything or join in the conversation that all of them were talking about at all. And my mother said to him, Kenneth, why didn't you tell him what you know? It's true. Dad said this, I'll never forget. He said, Hun, I don't know. He may have asked for forgiveness and may have changed. And I am not going to speak bad. See, it says it's to believe the best about everybody. I've seen my dad believe the best about people when they've taken advantage of him. He still, and right here on this stage, when we did his memorial, more people talked about his love walk than anything else. Was anybody here the last night of camp meeting of 2003? What did he preach on? Huh? He preached on love. That's the last sermon I ever heard him preach. He preached on love. That is one of the greatest things that will help you to be able to live a victorious life, is to learning how to walk in love. Another thing is, face your trouble and speak to your mountain-sized trouble. And we all know that, Mark 11:23. I say unto whoever says in this mountain be removed, but that cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. And then maintain a positive confession. Don't let negativism come out of your mouth. Hold fast to the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Also, remember, trouble is temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which but for a moment is working a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. And then stand your ground. Resist the enemy. Ephesians 6:13, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, stand. Now, that's just a few spiritual things you can do. Now let's look on the natural side, okay? Because we are a spiritual person and a natural person at the same time. Tell your neighbor, say, you're spiritual and natural at the same time. You're two people. Okay? Get rid of all of your excuses. Blaming others. Oh, I had a bad upbringing. Oh, the economy's poor. Get rid of the victim mentality that the world owes you. The world don't owe you nothing. Poor upbringing. I wasn't born in the right place. I wasn't born with a silver spoon, they say. But, okay. Get rid of all your excuses. Number two. Don't look continually at your past. Your victory is not behind you, it's in front of you. Don't second guess yourself. Believe in yourself and do what you believe according to God's word and go from there. I've told my kids, I was told this, I've told lots of people this. Look at everything there is to look at. then make the decision, and then be willing to live with the decision. When you do that, most of the time you make the right decision. Here's another one in the natural. Know your limits. Have a realistic evaluation of yourself, your abilities, what you can accomplish, what you can do, and what you can't do. Some of us have natural talents. Some don't. I have always been able to talk. I have never been afraid of being on a platform. I don't know whether it's because of I went to the platform. It's 8 o'clock. I got to quit, don't I? I don't know whether it's because I went to the platform when I was 19 months old. I don't know. I do know my mother told me I started walking and talking when I was 9 months old, and I hadn't shut up since. That's exactly what she told me many times. But you see, I have just had a natural ability to walk in and look at a situation and take charge of it if necessary. When we were building this building, Charlie would bring me in here, and he would say this. He'd say, everything's done but one little bitty thing, and that's the first thing you see. I walk into a room, and I can tell you it's in 30 seconds what needs to be done in that room. I walk in this room, and I've already seen how many light bulbs is out up there. Some of y'all probably never even look up there and notice it. You know your abilities and go that direction. Now, I'm talking about on the natural side. Now, we already talked about the spiritual side. Give clear communication. Don't give them out mixed signals when you're talking to somebody. Now, that's the one thing that people, my wife, my kids say about me, is say, Dad, you just say it like it is, and sometimes you need to be more diplomatic. I said, I don't know how. All I know is tell it the way it is, that's the way it is, and period. There ain't no ifs, ands, or others about it. That's it. You know, have you ever seen somebody, I mean, maybe you've been on a job, and a foreman, because he didn't want to be mean, he talked to you, and when he got through talking, you didn't know whether you were supposed to do the job or not do the job. Anybody ever been in that position? See, that's somebody that's not giving clear communication. One time somebody said that to me, and I looked at him and I said, do you want me to do it or do you not? And they looked at me sort of funny. I said, but what you said, I don't know whether you want it done or are you suggesting that I do it or what? Hello. I had to learn with my dad. I learned that if he said, I think I would do it this way or I suggest this, that's what you're supposed to do. Right, Craig? Right, Doug? Then don't flip-flop on decisions. And then there's another thing you can do in the natural. We are not all fix-it people. Hire the professional before you mess it up. What you pay them will be a whole lot less than you'll pay after you've tried it and messed it up and then have to get them in. Hello. Now, I just give you a few things on the spiritual side, a few things on the natural side, because we live in two worlds at the same time, a natural world and a spiritual world at the same time. So we need to learn how to do correct in this world and correct in that world. And when you make the corrections in both worlds and they come together, you got something going on. Hello? You know, Psalms 34:17 says, the righteous cry out, the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as a contrite spirit. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. It says many are our troubles and so forth, but we're delivered out of them all. Trust you got something out of this little message I had tonight. But you know how I am on Wednesday night. I like to try to give you something that'll help you on both sides, spiritual and natural. All right, everybody's saying, Heavenly Father, help us to realize that we have to take charge in both areas, in our spiritual area and in our natural area. And when we do that, you'll come in behind us and work for us and with us, and we will overcome. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God.